What a privilege we have to hold in our hands the words of the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, the everlasting God, the eternal God, that He's spoken, He's revealed to us His word, His will, and what a privilege we have to hold it in our hands. What a privilege we have to read it and to allow God to open our hearts to understand the things which He's recorded. Genesis chapter 21 in verse 33, there it says that Abraham called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. In Psalm 90, it talks about how even before the mountains were made, even from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. In Deuteronomy 33:27, it says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Is the eternal God your refuge today? Do you know the comfort of knowing that your soul has been saved through putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've been forgiven of your sins, that you're on your way to heaven, that you have eternal life not because of your own good works, but because you've received the Son of God, and that God says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you don't yet have the Son of God, you have the opportunity this morning to receive the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is your Savior. In Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 6, it says this, the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. The everlasting God, the eternal God, has given us His word, which endures forever. We have His trustworthy, faithful word that we can read, that we can know God's promises, we can be assured of things that have happened in the past, as well as of things that will happen in the future. Because our God is faithful, He's strong, He's wise, He's loving, He's righteous, He's holy. We know the scripture says about our Lord Jesus Christ, the same, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And this eternal God has spoken and given us His word. Let's take a look to begin with at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Each of us are on a journey. And as you're on your journey through life, we've already considered the question of, is the eternal God your refuge? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know for sure if you have eternal life? Well, here in Luke chapter 24, we find two individuals who were on a journey. One of them's name was Cleopas. We're not sure what the name of the other individual was. As we're gathered here this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst. Scripture says that wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them. And here we will see two individuals who were on a journey, and the Lord Jesus Himself drew near them. Let's read in Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. If they were traveling on foot, that's quite a ways to travel, isn't it? 7 miles. I've heard the Backstroms have been doing a lot of walking lately, but perhaps they're the only ones who've done that 7 mile journey by foot recently, or a journey like that of 7 miles. But these two individuals, they were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Now, chronologically, this is taking place after the Lord Jesus had been crucified and risen from the dead. Verse 15, so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? So they said to him, The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, Have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Here we read of some of the times when the Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, appeared to his disciples, appeared to those who believed on him. And we read in verse 36 that he said, "Peace to you." We could read in the Gospel of John of how the Lord Jesus offered his peace to his disciples. Do you know his peace? The peace of knowing that between you and God, your sins are forgiven. God has declared you righteous. Not because you've perfectly kept his law, because none of us ever could, except for the perfect Lord Jesus Christ, but because the Lord Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree so that we can be forgiven. Do you know his peace? We read in verse 27 about how beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We saw also in verse 44, "Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be there with Cleopas and the other disciple that day as the Lord himself drew near and shared with them, beginning at Moses and all the scriptures, expounding to them the things concerning himself? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be with the Lord Jesus as he shared not only with those two, but with the 11 apostles and the others who were gathered with them? And as he shared with them about the things which must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. It would have been wonderful to be there that day. But isn't it wonderful too that God has given us his eternal word, and that the apostles who were there with the Lord when he shared these things, that the Lord led some of them to record for us truths in his word about the Lord Jesus, things which were promised ahead of time that were fulfilled in his life. Let's take a look at some of those things this morning. We will not have time to look at all of them, because that would probably take perhaps days or weeks to look at all of them and consider them in great detail. But this morning, let's consider seven things recorded in the New Testament, seven things which were recorded in the Old Testament, which were either prophecies or pictures or things that were written that in some way related to the coming and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we can consider the words of seven men of God, many if not all of them, referred to in Scripture as being prophets. We can consider on two different passages words of the prophet Isaiah, and then words of the prophet Micah, then of Hosea, then of Jeremiah, then of David, who in Acts chapter 2 is referred to as a prophet, and then of Moses, and then of the perfect prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your word, and we pray, O God, that you would open each heart that's here this morning to understand the things written in your word concerning your precious, perfect Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. O God, we thank you for recording these things ahead of time so that we could know what the Messiah, the Anointed One, what he would be like and different things about his coming. And O God, we pray that our hearts would burn within us is we consider and enjoy the things you've recorded in your word for us to see about your perfect Son who fulfilled your word in so many ways and will yet fulfill it in so many others. So please give us understanding, empower us, empower me by your Spirit to proclaim your truth, and open the understanding of those who are listening, we pray, and help us all to love you more as we consider these words of our everlasting God. We ask in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin by turning to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Here, Isaiah the prophet was recording some truth about the promised one and how he would miraculously come into this world, taking on human form. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. So here, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus came, God promised that the virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which being translated is God with us. We see this recorded in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I'll begin reading with verse 21. Speaking about Mary, it says in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 21, reading from the New King James Version, verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In verse 20, it was revealed that regarding Mary, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Isn't it wonderful that the God of glory came to visit humankind here upon this earth, taking on human form, being born of a virgin, being born of Mary, to fulfill what God had spoken through the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years beforehand. Lord willing, in the future, I might be able to have some pictures to show you some different things relating to some of these scriptures. One of the pictures I might be able to show you in the future is a picture of the Qumran Caves in Israel, where back around 1950, a shepherd boy, in seeking a lost sheep, heard an unusual sound upon throwing a stone, and they came to find out that within these caves, in this desert area of Israel, were clay pots, and within these clay pots were scrolls of the Old Testament scriptures. Among them was a copy of the scroll of Isaiah, which upon it being very carefully opened, they found it to be virtually identical to Isaiah as we have it recorded today in God's Word. And it's so wonderful that the God of glory, that he revealed his truth, and that even though there are some who would bring accusations against God's Word saying, that could not be the preserved Word of God, because we've done the telephone game where you pass a message on from one person to another, and by the time it gets to the end, you can hardly remember what it began as. But God, in his mercy and grace, allowed those scrolls to be preserved there in the caves of Qumran so that people can look back and see that God's word, as it had been passed on, was preserved faithfully so that we can know the everlasting God. Let's take a look at another prophecy recorded in Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Micah is near the end of the Old Testament. Jonah, Micah. If you can find Jonah, Micah's right after Jonah. Micah chapter 5. And let's see what God recorded through Micah. In Micah chapter 5, in verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. So we saw recorded that Emmanuel, God with us, would be born of a virgin. And here we see that Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though it was little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of that small town of Bethlehem would come forth the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from of old, from everlasting. Again, we see the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God, who chose to humbly come to this earth and take on human form. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 2, where this prophecy is spoken about in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ, or the Messiah, was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Here referring to the prophecy recorded by Micah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. Now Herod, as we see from looking on in the scripture, he was lying. He did not desire to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who came fulfilling this prophecy. Rather, he desired to put him to death. These wise men, they did indeed, as we see in verse 11, they fell down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's take a look now at Hosea chapter 11, a portion of a verse in Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea comes right after Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter 11. And we will look just at the second half of verse 1, where it says, And out of Egypt I called my son. Now let's take a look back at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. It was recorded by Hosea, And out of Egypt I called my son. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. Now when they had departed, referring back to the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had determined from the wise men. Isn't it amazing that even the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, including Herod the king, that God, in his mercy and grace and infinite wisdom, that God allowed the very enemies of the Lord, the actions they chose were used to bring about the fulfillment of God's promises. It's amazing how God planned it. He knew ahead of time the things that would happen, and they were fulfilled just according to his word. Let's take a look now at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Here, Jeremiah the prophet records in Jeremiah, it's recorded here for us in Jeremiah chapter 31, in verse 15, the words of the Lord through the prophet. Verse 15, Thus says the Lord, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are no more. Now let's take a look back in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Let's read verse 16 again, in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. And we'll stop our reading right there in Matthew for now. Let's take a look now at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, let's read verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Notice especially the first part of that verse, Prepare the way of the Lord. Now let's go back to Matthew, Matthew chapter 3. There Isaiah was prophesying about how John the Baptist would come, preparing the way for the Lord, as a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." So John the Baptist came calling the children of Israel to repent, to change their minds, to have changed thoughts towards God, that they might turn from their wicked ways and turn to God and be ready to receive the Messiah, the one greater than him who was to come. Now let's turn over to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Psalm 69 and verse 9. Psalm 69 and verse 9. Apparently, this was one of the Psalms of David, and it's recorded there in Psalm 69, verse 9. "Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me." Now let's take a look at John chapter 2. The Gospel according to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and beginning with verse 13. "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." John chapter 2, verse 14. "And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise.' Then his disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house has eaten me up,'" as we read in Psalm 69, verse 9. "So the Jews answered and said to him, 'What sign do you show to us, since you do these things?' Jesus answered and said to them," here the Lord Jesus himself prophesying, "'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then the Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?' But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Now let's take a brief look at Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers chapter 21, we have recorded some of the history of the children of Israel as they were wandering in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 21. And we will see that what took place here was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Numbers chapter 21, beginning with verse 4. "Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread.'" Notice that the children of Israel were sinning. They were speaking against God and against his servant Moses. They were claiming that there was no food, yet God was faithfully providing the manna for them to eat. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now let's go to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we have recorded for us the conversation that the Lord Jesus had with Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. And the Lord Jesus had been talking to him about his need to be born again, his need to be born from above. And if you're here today and you have not yet received the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, you have the need to be born from above, to be born of God, so that you will not be judged for your sins, and so that you will not go to hell in the lake of fire. Here the Lord Jesus, in talking with John about his need to be born again, we see here in verse 13, John chapter 3, verse 13, it's recorded here, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven." Who was the one who came down from heaven? It was Emmanuel, God with us, the ruler, the one born King of the Jews, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. John chapter 3, verse 13, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven." The Lord Jesus, able to be in more than one place at a time. Verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." We read about that. We read about how the children of Israel had sinned. And because of their sin, God had sent the fiery serpents, and they were biting people. And there was a consequence to people's sins. They were dying. We have all sinned. There's a consequence to our sins. God tells us in his word, the wages of sin is death. The consequence of sin is death, physical death, and spiritual separation from God. Yet, just as God provided for the children of Israel, when they realized their sin, God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and to lift it up on a pole. And he did that. And in verse 14 it says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The bronze serpent was lifted up. Some of the people may have thought, "Look at a bronze serpent and I'm going to live? That sounds too easy. How can that make sense?" And some of them may have perished, perhaps in unbelief. But we read that there were those who they looked and they lived, just according to God's promise. Here we read of how the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, that he would be lifted up. He's the provision for the sin of the whole world. So that, as Jesus said, "Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you have peace with God? Have you received the Son of God, realizing that his death that he died was for you when he was lifted up? The Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, he died for our sins. Verse 16, very famous verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That can include you. If you choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the promise of God, the everlasting God, the eternal God. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Isn't that a sad thing? That the light, the spiritual light, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world, and yet many people, they hated him. Why? Because their deeds were evil. What about you? What about me? What will your response be to the perfect Son of God? Will you hate him because he's the light and he reveals your sin, that it's evil? Or will you love him because, knowing your sin, he willingly bore it in his own body on the tree so that you can be forgiven? And after dying for our sins, just as he'd prophesied, just as he'd promised, he rose from the dead, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. There's so many more prophecies that we could look at, so many more things recorded in the Old Testament as pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ that were fulfilled in his life and teachings. Perhaps in the future we may have opportunity to look at some more of those. But for now, let's try to take to heart that the everlasting God, the eternal God, has given us his word, that just as was promised, he came into this world. He took on human form. He lived a perfect life. He died the death that we deserved so that our sins could be forgiven. He rose from the dead. And one day, just as these promises that have already been fulfilled have taken place, one day he's going to come back and he's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you his? If so, let's look forward to his return and say, even as it says in Romans chapter 22, looking forward to first to the Lord Jesus' return to take his people to be with him in the clouds. May we say, as it says in Revelation chapter 22, recorded in verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you, the eternal God, the everlasting God, that you desire to be the refuge of each individual, that they would realize that the everlasting God, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting, that he took on human form and dwelt among humankind as Emmanuel, God with us, born of a virgin. And Lord, there are so many other prophecies fulfilled through your perfect Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that these things would not only be the delight of our hearts, that the Lord Jesus fulfilled so many of these promises already, but we pray, O God, that you would lead us to share these things with others, especially as we consider the children of Israel, the Jewish people, and how, because many of them began to see some of these prophecies and how they sure looked like the Lord Jesus Christ, how sad it is, God, that those who claim to be leaders, even in Israel today, that they stopped teaching the prophecies because people were beginning to catch on. They were beginning to understand. And Lord, how sad it is that so many people in Israel today could not even mention three prophecies about the Messiah recorded in your word by your prophets. But we thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity here this morning to look at least six of the things recorded in your word in the Old Testament that referred to our Lord Jesus Christ, and then to look at his own prophecy about how he would die for our sins and then rise from the dead. Oh God, we thank you for your perfect Son, and we pray, oh God, that you'd give us joy and delight in being his witnesses wherever you lead us, perhaps in Rotterdam, perhaps Schenectady, perhaps Scotia, Saratoga, Altamont, Gilderland, Clifton Park, Duanesburg. Lord, wherever you lead your people, please help us to be faithful witnesses of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask these things for his glory, for your glory, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.